Good morning. It's a privilege for us to be here, and we are glad for the opportunity and for the invitation to share with you this morning. We want to start by sharing what the ministry is that God has called us to in Bolivia. And to be able to get a good idea and grasp of what our ministry is, and what very much you are involved in and part of and doing in Bolivia. We would like to share a video clip with you. It's about 10 minutes to start with, that gives a really good overview of the ministry in Bolivia overall. David and Lisa Jansen are our field directors in Bolivia, and they put this video clip together in May. And so we'd like to just start off with that, and then we'll continue on after the clip. That gives you an overview of what the ministry in Bolivia in general is. And we'd like to give you just some more details about ourselves and the particular area of ministry that we are involved in. When Arlie and I moved to Bolivia in 2002, October, it was just the two of us going, but God has since then blessed us with three wonderful children. And Joshua is 8 years old. He'll come and share a little bit yet, a bit later. He has a great memory. He loves school and lots of intriguing ideas that he comes up with. Naomi is 6. She's in grade 1, and she's our athlete in the family. She loves to be a little princess who's playing soccer, so it's not unusual to see her run around in a skirt or a dress, kicking ball around. Gabriella is 4, and she's excited to go to school with her brother and sister together with Daddy next year. She can't wait to get off to school and get started in kindergarten, which will be in February. Our school year runs from the beginning of February to the end of November, because Bolivia is south of the equator, so our seasons are opposite of what you have them here. Our winter is in June and July, and our summer is over Christmas time, December and January.
Now, I'd like to give you a little bit of an introduction as to where we are and what the work is that we are involved in specifically, which is the school. We went, as the video mentioned, we went to Bolivia first in 2002, October 2002, so that's almost 9 years ago. We were called in various different ways, but the first task that we were called to there to work on was to start up a school. There were a number of families that had been moving out of colonies. There had been a period of drought. There was some extreme poverty in a lot of the colonies, and which brought some of the people to the point where they actually made that move out of the colony, which is a huge step. For those of you who are in Sunday school, you'll understand more of that. The barriers that they have to get over, both socially, economically, and spiritually to do that. But basically, it meant that we were working with families who were displaced out of a system that they had grown up in, out of everything that they really knew. They felt that they were lost forever, because that's what they had been taught, that if you ever get excommunicated from the colony church, you have no chance of ever going to heaven. And so a lot of them were very depressed, and most of the men had turned to alcohol. The school started in March of 2003 with about 30 children. Now, there was a picture a little while ago, but if you looked carefully, you would see that everyone's barefoot. And there's actually a good reason for that. The families, they had moved out of the colony. They were very poor. Some of them didn't have a lot of footwear. But in general, when a family is so depressed, when the husband is an alcoholic, the wife is depressed and just feels she's lost, and she's in a place where she's totally, which is totally unfamiliar with her, in the Spanish-speaking towns outside of a colony, they didn't really know how to take care of their kids, or often really weren't up to the task of it. And so in a country that's as humid and as hot as Bolivia, There's lots of parasites, lots of things that you pick up if you're running around barefoot everywhere in a town where animals all over the place and so on. And so we actually had to do all kinds of things like check the kids' feet and legs for parasites under the skin. We had to teach them how to be social in a positive way, how you could be together in one place without hurting each other. Which, because they mostly came from very broken families, these kids, they really hadn't had any positive teaching in that way, at least not for a while. And so, but we started, God blessed. I mean, we had our struggles. We had the fathers that would come and be very angry that we had taught their kids that the world was round, and you could see it was flat, and we were teaching them all kinds of strange things that they weren't in agreement with. We also had, Eva will share a story of another family and so on, people that didn't really see the value of education, because in the colonies it's taught that the more you know, the more you're responsible for, so you should really know very little, just enough to get by in life with your very basic needs. And so it has been a challenge that way, but God has blessed. This is our first school bus. It wouldn't pass a safety inspection here in Canada, but don't really have, I mean, there are laws there, but they don't really get enforced. So we had 30 kids riding that school bus the first year. The next year we had 50. You know, there's always room for one more in Bolivia. That's a common saying. There's always room for one more. Doesn't matter how many are in there already. But we're very grateful for the way God provides. After 2 years, there was a need to relocate the school. We moved to a location in Pylone and built these portable buildings, four of them. Tracy knows about all of that. Tracy Wheeler, she was there for that transition. And it became clear very soon that that wasn't enough space. We were very glad for some donations that we could buy a bus to transport the kids after a couple of years. But we'll see a picture shortly. I believe that this is our third year that we were working, up to five staff at that point. Oh no, it's in a different set of pictures. But anyway, we had a picture somewhere of our kindergarten classroom where Tracy actually taught kindergarten to our kids there. And the classroom also was our office. It was our library. It was our storage room for all our phys ed equipment. And it was also our garage where the school motorcycle was kept, where the bus driver would take here and there. And our lawnmower was in there as well. So it's all one little classroom, which is really probably less than half the size of a normal classroom here in Canada. Fit all that in there. God blessed, we were able to build a new building through the donations that came from various areas. We did some fundraising there, but the families we were dealing with were very often very much at the subsistence point, like not always knowing when they would have the next meal, especially because the husbands often didn't bring the money home and the wives had to sit there and fend for their kids, whether it was 5 or 12 kids trying to feed them. But God blessed, there was a community that started up and the school was asked to move there. We were able to move to a permanent location finally, even though there was some difficulty with that, even though they had a bunch of rains that happened then. Now, some rains means the month of January we saw less than 12 hours of sunlight the whole month. It was cloud cover for the rest. We had rain every single day. Now, it wasn't every day that a lot, but one day we had 10 inches within a couple hours, and then the next day we'd have an inch. And it's very hard to build in that kind of thing, so the school was actually over at the church for a little while, for half a year actually. And we skipped the country and let Tracy rule for a little while, and she had to deal with all that transition while we were gone. But God has blessed, He has worked in the hearts of these kids, and there are lots of people around in the colonies looking to see what will happen of this. These were the castaways from their colonies that we were working with. They didn't expect anything good to come out of it. But God is a God of miracles. He's a wonder-working God, as one song says. And we had the privilege of working with these kids who come very often from very difficult backgrounds. The first years, we would deal with kids that would come to school. And I remember from the one family, we had a couple of girls that one day show up at school and their ear was partially ripped off. I mean, it was still there, but it was ripped off of the head partially. And their brother wasn't even able to come to school. He had been beaten up so badly by his father, who had come home drunk, got mad and took it out on the kids. And we've had a lot of that kind of thing to deal with, where just abuse that you hear about it here, but when you live with it daily, and we're at the beginning, it was the majority of kids dealing with this when they went home, What a privilege it was for us to have them at school at a safe place with teachers who loved them, who loved the Lord and loved them. And that is still happening. God is leading in that.
The vision for the school has always been to reach the heart of these children. It's much more so than teaching them just head knowledge. Yes, it's important for them to learn to do arithmetic. It's important for them to learn to read and write. But it's much more important for the rest of their lives to know that Jesus loves them. When they feel no love at home, it's important that they will be able to grasp and understand that love, and that they will experience that through the teachers and the staff and at school. We currently have 150 students this year at the school. There are a total of 15 staff, including Arlie, and we are here now, so they're working with 14 staff members there currently. One of those is part-time. And it's quite a combination. Lisa Friesen is the administrator, and she is keeping things running during the time that we are here now for these 6 months. We also have three of the local people who are helping and teaching. But then the majority of the staff are Bolivian national teachers, Spanish-speaking teachers, because our school is, the main language is Spanish, because that is the language in the country, and it is important that they are able to communicate in that setting. But we also teach English, and we have this year, the first year, that we don't have Canadians teaching English, that we have local people who have picked up, and from a family that used to live in the United States for a number of years and have moved back to Bolivia, and three of their children are now teaching at the school in English. But we also teach Low German literacy, and the instruction and announcements are all done in Low German as well. And the key is that we want this to be a Christ-centered school, that in everything they learn, that God is the focus and God is the center of it all. He created the whole universe, and that they understand how he created the world and how it works, how he implemented it. And so for us, it's important that our staff are committed to serving God, that this isn't just a job for them. And that's one thing that Arlie does very well when he explains to them, they come looking for a job, that this isn't just a regular teaching job, but this is a whole entire ministry and outreach to these Mennonite children. And along with that, like I mentioned, we do teach Low German literacy. And important for us is that because that is their mother tongue, that's their number one language that they understand best. And so it's someone had mentioned something the other day. How would you interpret it if a French Canadian came to you and introduced you to Christ and now expected you to come to a French-speaking church and to read the French Bible, and you were trying to learn the French language? It's a difficult thing to grasp. And that is why our focus is to teach them the Low German, because that is their native language. That is what they understand. That is what speaks most deeply and most profoundly to their heart, and that they can grasp best. And so we are in process of teaching the children that they can read and write the Low German language. And like I mentioned, Lisa Friesen is continuing on as the administrator of the school and making sure that things are moving ahead and running smoothly during the time that we're gone. She has been there now for 2.5 years and has brought a lot of spunk into the school with her. And we are excited to have her on board and to have her family there with us. And she is in this picture together with one of the teachers of the school. And this is the group of 5 grade 11 students that we have this year at school. All 5 of them are committed to completing their grade 12 education, which is historical and exciting for us because this is the first Mennonite school in Bolivia to ever graduate a grade 12 class. And so for us, next year is a real party for us because we're excited to be able to give the Mennonites that opportunity to receive what we in Canada take for granted as, oh, just your average education. But that isn't just average in Bolivia. It has never happened there before. And so we are very excited to give them opportunities. But then the vision is not just, like I said, to feed them full of head knowledge, but the idea is to give them a good start in life, that with that, they will be able to progress ahead and catch the vision of reaching their own people, and that they will then in turn come back and serve the Mennonites and help them along. And we are seeing that. And I'd like to share the story of Helena with you. Helena comes from, again, an abusive home and has really had a very sad childhood growing up. But Helena and her brother and sister were in our school, and after 3 months in school, her mother came to our gate and announced that she was withdrawing her children from our school. So, of course, we're concerned. What was the problem? What was the situation at school that they would have to withdraw? And so we invited her in and sat down and wanted to discuss further with her what the situation was, what was wrong, what's the matter. And she informed us that over the past 3 months, her children had learned so much more than she had her lifetime in a colony school, that they were way more educated than she ever was, and so they didn't need to continue any further with school because they already knew a lot more than she did. And so now she was going to withdraw them from school and keep them at home and send them off to work, and they could earn money for the family. Helena and her brother and sister were very decidedly against that, and they committed to sticking it out. And Helena was very, very shy when she started, and when we moved to Bolivia in 2002. Anytime that you would look at her or speak to her, immediately her eyes would go down, and she would not look at you in the face. She had very, very low self-esteem and very much a victim mentality because of all the abuse that she suffered. Over the years of experiencing the love of others around her and receiving the love of Christ to transform her heart, she has become a tremendous blessing. And she said, I am going to finish, no matter what it takes, but I am committed to finishing my grade 12. In the 6 years that she attended our school, she worked ahead and completed her grade 8 education with us. And then she went on to a Bolivian Spanish school that fast-tracked, evening school, that fast-tracked you through high school. So she did from grades 9 to grade 12 in a matter of 2 years. And she turned around and came back and asked if she could come and teach at the school as a kindergarten teacher. And she has been a huge blessing for us in the school, and she has done a tremendous job with teaching the kindergarten students. There are a couple, John and Naomi Hall from the Yukon, that have been coming over the past 3 years now to do teacher training seminars at the beginning of the year. And what they have done is, in particularly, help those teachers who don't have their teaching degree, who don't have teacher training, to help them along, to teach them how to be teachers, how to set up their class, how to interact with the students, how to maintain discipline in the classroom. And Helena has been has just been soaking all that training up and just absorbing it and has been putting that into practice. And she has been just wonderful blessing to see how she now is interacting with the children. And you greet her and she looks at you with a smile on her face and excited to be able to help in this way. And a little bit more than technology challenged, so I couldn't put it quite together, but I would have loved to. I did an interview with her, and I asked her specifically, Helena, we've seen how you have progressed through school and how you're now blessing us, but you have a whole classroom full of kindergarten students. What do you see for those students ahead in their future? And her response was, I see such tremendous potential in these students. So many of them are so eager to help me. I think a lot of them could go on to be teachers, to be professionals, to be educated farmers and pastors, people who can turn around, come back, and help the people around them. And so she has caught that vision. She has caught that ministry, that servant heart of not just take, but to also, when we receive and when God pours the blessings out on us, to turn around and to give. And that for us has been a tremendous blessing, and we would love to see that continue with all of our students, that through the changing transformation of Christ, that they would be able to turn around and serve him as well.
So that's really our aim. As we mentioned in Sunday school, our job is to work ourselves out of a job. It's a big task, it's a long-term thing, and there's a huge need. And why is there such a need to reach the Mennonites in Bolivia? I mean, your church is called Mennonite here. The Mennonites in Bolivia, most of them have never understood the gospel, and they've been intentionally kept from understanding it by an education system and by a church system that kind of it keeps people intentionally in darkness. In the schools, in the colonies, people are taught to read in the High German, to pronounce it in their way of pronouncing it. But if a teacher goes as far as explaining it, if the teacher even understands what it means in the first place, goes as far to explain what they're reading, and they use the Bible as a textbook and they use a catechism, which is actually a good question and answer faith statement, they have to memorize these things, but they are not allowed to learn what it means. If a teacher does that, he will be booted out of the school. And he may also be excommunicated from the colony church. So it seems kind of the opposite of what we would think a school to be. But those are the people that we are reaching out to. And often the parents see they see it very difficult. Why is it so important that you have education? They've always been taught you should know less. Always know less, because if you don't know much, then you won't be held accountable for much. All you should know is what the preachers tell you on Sunday, and try to do it, and just try and make sure that you won't get in trouble with them. If you can get around ways and no one gets and you don't get caught, then that's okay. As long as you're not in trouble with the colony leadership, with the preachers, then you're okay. And we are trying to reach them in a way that is real. God wants these people to know him as well. He doesn't want them to be lost out of ignorance. And that's our mission. These are the people that God has called us to and has called others to. And these are people that we believe God has called you to. Now, you may not be the hands and feet in Bolivia, at least not now. Who knows? Maybe God is calling some of you to come as well at some point. But you are a part of this. God has a plan and mission for each one of us. And there are different ways, whether it's prayer, financial support, or following the leading that God has to reach out to whoever God has put on your heart. These people really need to know the gospel. And there are 60,000 Mennonites in Bolivia. The great majority of them have never experienced that love of Christ in their heart. Now, more and more of them are hearing it in various ways. We are not the only mission there. As the video mentioned, but we are, as a mission, are called to reach into the colonies now. We've been working for the last number of years more in the area of Pailon, in the community called Villanueva that started up 5 years ago, to help these people coming out of the colonies. It is not a colony. It's a community that runs very different from a colony, where the community runs separately from the church, which also runs separately from the school. But we are now wanting to turn that around, and we feel that this is God's timing to go into the colonies now and to start works in the colonies, to start churches and schools there. And it is a long-term process. It isn't something quick to say, yay, now we're going to have an evangelistic crusade, and there will be a church pop, and there will be a school, and now we go on to the next place, and so on. When people are caught in that bondage, it's a longer-term process to work through some of that baggage. Even those who come to Christ, they have to make a very clear decision to break those chains, those intergenerational chains or sins or curses, you could call them, of darkness, and to move forward, and to let go behind the bitterness, to let go the ideas that are not biblical, but that have been taught in the church and in the colony. And
with the financial support, it's often easier and more exciting to help with short-term projects. Building projects are great. We need the buildings. And we have we're in need of another building because we're running out of space. These four buildings that were built several years ago, they're full. And we're having people come from other areas asking for help, asking for a school to be set up. And those buildings were built in such a way that they can be transported and moved, possibly to a colony, to help get them set up and started there. In order for us to now be able to answer those calls that we have to come and help in other areas, we need to have another brick building put up so that we can have these classes empty and available to move to other areas. But much more exciting than short-term projects are the long-term that we see. And I know for me, budget is always boring. I always used to sit in the annual meetings and think, oh, great, here comes the budget part. You know, how long is this going to take? Let's just get through it and move on, you know? Well, budget has become exciting to me because Helena, the story that I shared with you, that is only because of your budget support that you have passed on to the conference level budget that helps to support the school budget and to support our salaries to be in Bolivia. Now, 50% of our school budget does still come from the conference budget. So when conference budget doesn't get met, it's the teacher's salaries that run short. It's the students who suffer, really. And so when your budgets are met and your budget distributions to the conference budget helps to cover those costs. So in your next meeting where you're sitting there discussing budget, I'd like for you to remember Helena's story and the story of so many of these students, because like our philosophy at the school, and the bottom one here in particular, we don't have a set of rules of do's and don'ts at the school, but we do have an order structure. And the bottom one to me is the most important, and that is to nurture and to nourish mind, body, and spirit. And so what your budget is doing is helping to nourish mind, body, and spirit of these children who so desperately need to have that.
You hear in the financial planning all the time, long-term planning, right? Long-term investments and so on. And we would challenge you. It's very easy to grasp something that's short-term, that's a quick thing. But to think long-term, not just with the budget, with missions, but ministry in general. Ministry in general isn't just a short-term thing. It's not like, woohoo, now we have someone who's a Christian, and then you leave them hanging. Jesus' call to us was not just to make not just to share the gospel, it was to make disciples and to teach them to follow Christ. And that is so essential, and it is a long-term thing. Think long-term, whether it's financial or your ministries, in your own church, and when you look farther than that in the conference and in what's going on in Bolivia, missions with us as well as others that you support. That's a challenge that we would make to you.
We would like to share some of our prayer requests, because we are very much aware of the power of prayer, because it is through the power of prayer that the Holy Spirit can do his work in his ministry. And when we were preparing to do reports, we had done a few reports already. I'd asked our children if they wanted to be involved. And Joshua wrote out a few things that he'd like to share with you.
Hello, I'd like to share something with you guys. Hello, my name is Joshua. I'm an eight years old, and I'm very happy to be here. Now, we are traveling in Canada, and please pray for us to have a safe travel. And I'm in grade 3, and I believe in Jesus, and please pray for our school in Bolivia, because there are lots of children that don't know me, that don't know Jesus. Thank you.
We'd like to leave you with those prayer requests and a couple of others. Pray, like Joshua said, for those students in the Bolivia school, because many of them don't know Jesus. But
we're also, there's some things happening that God has been doing, not just with our school, but also bringing a unity among the different Mennonite groups who are more evangelical-minded in Bolivia, even though we are by far the minority. But one of those that's happening is that we are working on a registration process for our school, which would also open the doors for other schools to register with the government, which isn't really a glitzy thing, but it's something that's very necessary, and it would be an open door to ministry to the various different communities. So we would really pray that you would help, we'd ask that you pray for this registration process, that it will be finished by November. If you ever complain about bureaucracy here in Canada with the government, then go to Bolivia and live there for a little bit, and then you'll be extremely thankful for the good government we have in Canada. It can be very frustrating with people not doing their job and always wanting to receive a little money under the table and that kind of thing, and which we aren't willing to do. And so pray that this process could be finished so that our students can get their document next year when they graduate, that they can get the document that would allow them to go on to university if they so choose, and that they can have that legalized. Another one is, we mentioned before, normally we have English teachers that come. Tracy from here has been one who served us very well there. We will need at least one English teacher for next year coming from Canada or some other place. And so pray for that, and maybe God is knocking on some heart here to fulfill that need. And a third one is just, in general, we want to reach the hearts of the students there. We don't want them to just be, as C.S. Lewis calls it, educated devils. Now, it's a strong term for someone who has educated in the mind, but whose heart is not given over to Christ. We really want our students to get to know Christ, as well as have a good academic background. We want to get at their hearts. And this picture is just something that brings tears to my eyes every time, because I know the families. I know what struggles they go through. I know that for some of them, their older siblings have left the church. They left the school in bitterness because of their fathers. And yet, we have the opportunity right now to reach them. And so it's not everyone that we've been able to reach, but pray that their hearts will be reached.
We would like to leave you with this testimony from one of the students. And just to give you a little background, his father is what we call an absentee father. He has been very little at home. His father is an alcoholic, and has many other women besides his mother and children at home in the community. He does not have the support from at home, and he does not have a positive father figure to look up to. And so it's very much a challenge for him to continue. Now, this video clip was put together by Lisa Friesen at the end of last year. So when there's information on 2010, that is from last year, this year, 2011, he is one of the students in the grade 11 class, and he is committed to finishing grade 12 next year. And he speaks a little bit about that, but I can't put it into better words than what he can. So I'll just run the clip for you to hear a little of his own story and to see what you guys are very, very much a part of doing in Bolivia.
I am Ben Froese. I am 16 years old and a student at the Villanueva School. I was born in a colony. When I was 6 years old, my parents moved the family to a town where they're only Spaniards and went to school there for 1 year. My parents then heard of a school starting up for Mennonites, and so we moved to a town close to where their school was and started school here. Arlie Pierce is the director and started the school. My first 6 years of school, the school didn't mean anything to me. I was only going because my parents wanted me to go to school. I was always in trouble. I was always fighting with my classmates. Later, once I was in grade 8, I started thinking of why I was in school. My teacher asked me what I wanted to do once I have finished school. I answered him that I wanted to work in an office with computers, but I need to first learn how to work with a computer, and the school doesn't have any. I'm very thankful that I can go to this school and learn about God. I am one of the first students that started going to this school. I have gone to school for 8 years and plan to graduate here. I am thankful for all the prayers for Villanueva, the school, and the work here. May God bless you. Thank you.
I'm going to just end off. No, I'm not going to have another sermon yet after this. I'm actually not very much a preacher. But I would like to just read a couple of verses that you heard before, and they pertain to each one of us. Now, missions is not a we thing, like an I thing. Eva and I are not missionaries in Bolivia out on our own, or just with those five couples that are there, even just as a team on our own. You are part of this, whether you know about it or not. Now, my question is, are you an active part of ministry? Are you responding to the mission that God would have you do? Whether that is pray for ministry there or elsewhere, whether it's giving, whether it's serving in your local church, whether it's reconciling with each other when there are conflicts, because as Christians, we are all prone to conflict just as much as anyone else. We still have that, what the Bible calls the flesh, that we have to deal with, our sinful nature. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14. I'll just read a couple of verses from this passage that you heard before. For Christ's love compels us. What compels us? His love. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And later it says, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul does not write here and say, gave me the ministry of reconciliation. He is including everyone who is a believer. So if you are a believer, then 1 Peter calls you a priest. And a priest is someone who is a go-between for God. And so we are someone who can reach someone else and lead them to Christ, to God. And further it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Church, we are his body, and we are called to his mission. What mission has God given you? If you don't know, then go do the things that you already know, and then trust him to lead in those things that you don't know yet, because he will if you let him. Thank you. Thank you very much for your support, for your time, and go mission. Sorry, an ad. We have prayer cards at the back. You are very welcome to take them. Please do not take other items from our display. They're there for, you can look at them, But we have cards for the school as well as personal ones. If you'd like to receive updates either from the school or from us or both, there are email addresses both for the school and for us. There's also a Facebook page for the school if you'd like to keep updated on things there. You're very welcome to take the cards, put them somewhere as reminders to pray, as well as the information that is found on there.